Okay, relax. Billy swished his tail and the end of it brushed across my nose. It gave me a little scare, but I managed to keep control of things. I inched forward, and by then I was only 2 feet from the hay pile. He was munching, flicking his ears now and then, and looking off to the north. If he was aware of my presence, he wasn't showing it. Well, that was all I needed to know. I took the last 3 steps and sat down in the middle of his alfalfa. I beamed him a smile. Hi. His head swung around. He stopped chewing. Our eyes met, and he went right back to chewing. I tossed a glance towards Drover. See? There's really nothing. Huh? What a cheap trick. As you may know, when horses attack a dog, they're supposed to do it with their hooves, right? I mean, that's a sort of accepted method of operation amongst horses and dogs. We've been doing it that way for years, for centuries. Everybody knows the rules of the game and everybody... But you know what he did? The very instant I took my eyes off of him, he reached down his head, clamped his big, ugly, green-stained teeth around the loose skin on my neck, picked me up, and flung me into the air. And we're talking about flying lessons, boys. I cleared the top of the fence and hit the ground like a rock. It knocked the wind out of me. Otherwise, I might have gone charging back into the pen and thrashed the hateful thing. Or at least sprayed him with some stern barking. But I was doing well just to breathe. I staggered to my feet and tried to catch a breath. Drover came rushing up. Boy, howdy, did you see that? I managed to gasp a reply.
Of course I saw it, you bird brain. It was me.
Yeah, and boy, did you fly. I never saw a dog fly so far.
Don't forget that he cheated. If he'd played by accepted rules, he never would have. Help me to the porch, Drover. I'm badly wounded.
I dragged myself to the porch. To the sheet of plywood, I should say. There, I was able to regain the use of my breathing mechanisms. At that point, I aimed a scorching glare back to the horse pen. You know what Billy was doing? Nothing. Eating, munching hay. He didn't gloat. He didn't laugh. He didn't even look at me. How do you suppose that made me feel? I mean, he had just thrown the head of security out of the corral, right? A major offense, an unspeakable crime. Yet to look at the oaf, you'd have thought that he just swatted a fly. I was outraged. Okay, Drover, we've managed to gain valuable information from this experience. Information that we can use against him in the future. Oh, good. What was it? I leaned forward and whispered in his ear.
He doesn't want dogs in his pen.
And so it was that our long and difficult search for truth had ended in triumph. I was about to enlighten Drover on the importance of truth, but just then Slim emerged from the chicken house. He came over to the porch and sat down. He reached out his hand and began scratching me behind the ears. Well, I'm done. Now it's time to move along, and I... He left his thought hanging in the air. He hitched up his jeans and went inside the trailer. If he'd known I was listening, he probably wouldn't have sung his song of the road. But he didn't notice me, and I heard the whole thing. Here's how it went.
Socks in a grocery sack, a couple of shirts and a well-used cack. It doesn't take me long to gather up and pack. and it's time to load 'em up and move along. Ben Green's books go along with me. They tell of things I'd like to see. A cowboy's life is wild and free, and it's time to load 'em up and move along. So goodbye, four walls. I can hear the highway call. It reminds me of the coyote's distant song. It's been mostly lots of fun, but now this deal is nearly done, and it's time to load the truck and move along. Sagebrush smells like a sweet perfume. Snowflakes whisper a lonesome tune. Memories here in this empty room, and it's time to load 'em up and move along. Two old shirts in a grocery sack remind me of all the things I lack. I'm leaving soon, and I'll not be back, for it's time to load 'em up and move along. So goodbye, four walls. I can hear the highway call. It reminds me of a coyote's distant song. It's been mostly lots of fun, and now this deal is nearly done, and it's time to load the truck and move along. Yes, it's time to load the truck and move along. Do 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 do.
When he finished the song, he looked up and saw me. Our eyes met for a moment, and in that moment, a wave of great sadness washed over me. Even though he had tried to throw me off course by using words like cack, the old cowboy term for a saddle, Slim's song made it pretty clear that he wouldn't be going back to the ranch. I had tried not to think about it, but there it was. Slim was leaving us, and most likely we would never see him again. All of our good times together had come to an end. I saw the sadness in his eyes, but then he turned away and said in a gruff voice, "Don't you have anything better to do? Things change, Pooch, and I've got to move on. I'll call Loper and tell him to come get y'all dogs." Drover was there, and naturally he had to start moaning and groaning.
"Gosh, Slim's not going back to the ranch."
"That's what he said, Drover."
"And we'll go back without him?"
"That seems to be the plan, yes."
"Gosh, what'll we do on cold winter nights? Where will we sleep?"
"We'll sleep? I don't know where we'll sleep, but it'll probably be out in the cold somewhere." His lip began to quiver.
"I'm not sure I want to go back to the ranch if Slim's not going to be there."
I got up and marched a few steps away. "Drover, he's a cowboy. Cowboys drift in and they drift out. A dog can't allow himself to get attached to them."
"Yeah, but I already have."
"Will you knock it off? This is going to be hard enough without you squalling and bawling about it."
"You're going to miss him too, aren't you?"
"No. Things change, Drover. People come and go. The only thing that stays the same is the ranch."
"Yeah, but the ranch won't be the same without Slim. Go ahead and admit it."
"No, I won't admit it." Slim came carrying two grocery sacks in his arms. They were stuffed with his worldly goods. Shirts, socks, underpants, a pair of boots. He placed them on the seat on the passenger side of his pickup, then went back inside for one last look around. He heaved a sigh, closed the door, and walked to the pickup, with his head down and a grim expression on his face. He pointed to the back of the pickup and said, "Load up, dogs, one last time." He fired up the pickup and we resumed our journey, all of us covered with a blanket of sadness. Since Slim's pickup was illegal to drive, and since he didn't want to move into the Crossbar Hotel, his term for jail, he took the back roads and side streets into town. He was pretty sly about it. Before he pulled out into a street, he stopped and looked in all directions for the police car. Only then did he creep out into the street and resume the journey to Leonard's saddle shop. We had gotten to within a block of Leonard's place when, imagine Slim's surprise when we drove past an alley and there sat the Holstein-colored car that belonged to the city police. Slim saw the car but pretended he didn't. He drove on, holding his breath. The police car didn't move. We crept on down the street. It appeared that we had dodged a bullet when 37 flashing lights came on and the police car shot out of the alley. Slim let out a groan and pulled over. The policeman got out and walked up to the window.
"Morning. You're Slim Chance, aren't you?"
"Yes, sir. And I know..."
"Follow me to the courthouse, please."
"Yes, sir." We followed the patrol car through town.
Drover had held up pretty well, but now he fell apart.
"Oh my gosh, they're gonna throw Slim in jail, and what'll become of us?"
"I don't know, Drover. If we're lucky, maybe they'll let us go with him."
"Yeah, but what if we're not so lucky? Do you reckon they'll send us to the dog pound?"
I swallowed a big lump in my throat. "I guess we'll find out." At last, our sad little column reached the county courthouse. Slim eased the pickup into a parking space, shut off the motor, heaved a deep sigh, and started to get out. He glanced to his left and saw a cowboy leaning against the side of a pickup. His face was hidden beneath the brim of his hat. Slim narrowed his eyes. I studied him too, the stranger, that is. Wasn't there something familiar about him? His scuffed boots, the tongue of his belt sticking out, the crease of his... Huh? Surely that wasn't... Slim's brow shot up and his mouth dropped open.
"Loper, is that you?"
The stranger raised his head. It was Loper.
"Just where the heck have you been?"
"Well, I've been shoveling chicken manure, if you must know."
Loper nodded.
"That was probably a smart career move. You never had much talent for cowboying."
"By grabs, it's honest work, and I ain't a burden to the man who hired me."
Loper shook his head and walked over to Slim's window.
"Look, I'm sorry I loaded you down with my problems. I should have kept my mouth shut."
"No, you should have done what you did. You told me the truth."
"I told you what was worrying me. The truth is that I met with the banker yesterday afternoon and everything went fine."
"You mean?"
"I mean we're in business for another year and the cattle market's headed up."
"I'll be darned. You mean?"
"Your job's waiting for you. If you can tear yourself away from the chicken house business."
"Huh. That'll be easy. But Loper, I think they're fixing to throw me in jail."
He jerked his head towards the officer who was standing nearby with his arms crossed.
"Well, a couple of months in jail might do you some good. But lucky for you, I've already worked this out with the authorities."
He pointed toward the policeman and handed Slim a new license plate.
"Put this on and get this rattle trap inspected and head for the ranch. We've got 2 weeks' work to do before sundown."
Slim stared at him.
"Well, it sounds just like the good old days. Thanks, Loper." Much as I want to see Alpine, I sure wasn't ready to leave the ranch. So there you are. Slim didn't have to leave us after all, and everything turned out for the best. You'll be glad to know that by 4 o'clock that afternoon, I was back in my position as head of ranch security, making my rounds, barking at monsters, and preparing to take the ranch through another dangerous night. That's a pretty good place to shut down this story, don't you think? Case closed.